him, partly under our supervision. We operated it and policed it, but it was the leasing of it and the decision as to who was going to put on an event there was under the Recreation Department. But we handled it, and we had our own patrol boat in the stadium, and we did the collecting of the fees and all that kind of thing. A big problem in building the marina was in getting the necessary land to finish the Davies Bridge. Not the Davies Bridge, but the... I guess it's the Davies Bridge. Yeah, the Davies Bridge. The approaches to the bridge sat there without any approaches for a long time. Many, I think several years. It was built, and then you couldn't get on it. It just had no approaches to it because the approaches on both sides were owned by private land. And also there was a problem of the Pacific Electric Railroad tracks went under it. So the bridge had to be built high enough and in such a manner that the tracks could be, or the train could go under the bridge. But the train couldn't go on the south side of the bridge because then it would have to go across the marina. So that meant the tracks had to be moved to the north side so that it would go around the marina. And the whole thing was designed so that it could do that. In the meantime, they abandoned the tracks. But the McGrath estate owned a lot of that land where the launching ramp is and the parking lot for the launching ramp. And there was a little controversy about getting enough land. We could get the land for the launching ramp and the access to it, but you can't have a launching ramp without a parking lot. And that's where the problem occurred. So when we got enough land for a parking lot, it all happened at the same time, I think, as they got the approaches to the bridge. Because the approach had to go almost, way up towards Pacific Coast Highway. And way down into Belmont Shore, or Naples, that. But that was quite a controversy to get enough land to build the launching ramp and the parking lot that was necessary for it. And the approaches to the bridge, they sort of all were wrapped up into acquiring the necessary property from private interests.
Did you have to use the right of eminent domain?
Well, they did, but there were still some other problems. It became quite a controversy before it was finally settled. I don't think that they just went in and got it like we did the rest of the land to build the marina. There were some other things there that apparently weren't as easy to handle. I wasn't too involved in it, except I had something to do with how much land we needed to make a proper launching ramp, but I didn't have much to do with the approaches to the bridge. That was other matters, other people's problem. But I guess the most interesting thing I had was in starting a department and putting a lot of my own ideas into it without having to undo somebody else's or do what somebody else had already thought of. Well, it was very interesting for me to do it that way.
Let me ask you about the yacht club. Too. I know you belong to the Long Beach Yacht Club, but I was wondering about, I know there's another one, the Alameda Bay Yacht Club, and perhaps the differences between the two, and why would someone belong to one and not the other, and that kind of thing.
Well, actually, right now there are three yacht clubs in Alameda Bay. Long Beach, Alameda Bay, and Seal Beach. Seal Beach used to be over in Seal Beach, and they moved over into Long Beach, and they have their clubhouse in a part of the bazaar building. Well, that's where the Stan Miller sailboats and those things. There's a building right alongside of them. They have one section of that. I suppose that you join one because some of your friends belong to it, or possibly Alameda Bay was a small boat sailing club primarily, where the Long Beach Yacht Club was started out as primarily a large boat, mostly power boats, although now they're mostly sailboats, but it started out though as a large power boat club with a lot of sailboats involved in it, where Alameda Bay started out as a small sailboat club.
Is Alameda
Bay
now the one that the powerboat
belongs to? No, Long Beach is really the powerboat club, still is. But not as powerboats aren't as predominant as they were in the beginning. Seal Beach, I don't know. I think just because it was a small club, maybe it didn't cost as much, and a lot of the people who belonged to it and their friends came into it. And I really don't know why you'd join one or not the other. Of course, when I joined Long Beach Yacht Club, I did so because a lot of the people I knew, Dick Loins and Jonah Jones and all those people, were members, active in the Long Beach Yacht Club, and I came into it and for that reason.
Now, that one started, the Long Beach Yacht Club started in the 30s. Do you know when the Alameda, the other one did?
About the same time, I think.
Mm-hmm. I've heard somebody say that it was a bit older.
I think it is. I think it is a few years older than the Long Beach Yacht Club.
Yeah.
But I can't give you the dates. In fact, I've almost forgotten the dates of the start of the Long Beach Yacht Club. It seems to me like it was in 1923.
Just it, so that's
no, no, I do think that that's right, that Alameda Bay was just a little bit older than Long Beach. They were, Alameda Bay, I thought, always had their center of activities in Alameda Bay, and the people who lived in Alameda Bay were the members. Long Beach had their headquarters over on the other side, on the west side, on the entrance to the Long Beach Harbor. It's up on high and dry land now, but they had a clubhouse over there. And their members were just citywide. And many of them were out of the city, people who didn't live in Long Beach. Where Alameda Bay was primarily a local yacht club to start with.
Mm-hmm. And then I noticed also that after you had abandoned that first building, then they didn't rebuild the clubhouse until the 50s or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. When they were planning the Long Beach Marina, I know Dick Loins was quite instrumental in having put on the plans a spot in which a yacht club was going to be built. It didn't say Long Beach, but it said a yacht club. And I think both Alameda Bay and Long Beach were there. I'm not sure whether Alameda Bay was there to start with or not, because they had a yacht club where the Leeway Sailing Club is now, down at 52nd Place. They had that building at one time, so they already had a location. But Long Beach didn't, because they abandoned the one over in the harbor, so it was put on the chart. And I don't know whether it's mentioned on one of these drawings or not, but it seems to me like that. I know that I went down to Alameda Bay one day with Dick Loins, and we looked on the... stood on the ground where the Long Beach Yacht Club is now built, and Dick said, "This is where we're going to build a clubhouse." It wasn't there. The fact of the marina wasn't even started yet. So I don't know whether it's put on here or not. So on one of the preliminary plans, there was a spot drawn right here. For a clubhouse, and that's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say Long Beach Yacht Club, it said a yacht club was going to be there. We knew what one was going to be there, but it couldn't very well say that.
Do you still belong to the yacht club then?
Yes, I'm a senior staff commodore. I was commodore 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And I'm a lifetime senior staff commodore.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Catalina Yacht Club versus the Tuna Club in Alawan. Do you have any insight on that? That's something we've discussed on numerous occasions.
No, I don't, accept that the Catalina Yacht Club is just like any other yacht club. It's strictly a yacht club, racing and social activities, where the Tuna Club is strictly a fishing club. There's no racing or other boating activities except fishing.
Is one more prestigious than the other?
Well, the Tuna Club, you have to, it's a little harder to get into the Tuna Club. You have to be recommended by somebody, and you have to catch a certain size fish on a certain kind of line and so forth and to qualify, and it's just not as easy to get into it. And it's pretty old. It goes way back in the 1800s. It's a real old club. it has some very prominent names in it. People like Cecil DeMille and people like that. And a lot of the movie people were in it who were ardent fishermen. Zane Grey was a member of it. And, you know, this goes way back into long before there was much in Avalon. The Tuna Club was active. And it's always been there.
Which marina did you own under Woodbridge? I was trying to visualize
Mississippi Bottom Marina. Oh, we had the Southwind Marina.
Back in the...
Van Palmer and I had it together.
Ah, you just didn't care for that area?
Well, it after having operated a marina with all the facilities and so forth of the Long Beach Marina, it was quite a letdown to go into a marina like that. It was small. The facilities were very much lacking and not in too good a repair. Financial, money-wise, it paid off. It paid off very well. We had no problem there.
Mm-hmm.
But I just lost interest.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't know what you wanted to do.
Well, I didn't really want it. I didn't care too much about it anyway. And I had already decided, I had retired from the Long Beach, from the city of Long Beach. I had decided to retire, but we had a good opportunity to pick this thing up and like a good moneymaker, so we did.
Yeah, I was curious if that was the one. You also talked about the city council, and you didn't have much chance on the other day to talk about why you ran or what district you were from or anything about it.
Well, I really don't know for sure why I ran, except a number of friends of mine thought that since I was quite prominent in the Long Beach Marina, fairly well known and a longtime resident of the city of Long Beach, and having just recently got out of a city administrative position, they felt that I knew my way around in the city hall fairly well. So they pretty well, I guess, a lot of them, they thought I should run for city council.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. But I didn't do it well.
And was it the Belmont? Where did you live then?
I lived here because at that time this was part of that district.
That Belmont Heights?
All of Belmont Shore, Naples, and all of that area on west to, I've forgotten how far it went now, almost to Orange, I guess. Anyway, it went way downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And, then they chopped up the district a little bit and took this piece out of that district and put it into the one out this way.
Oh.
I don't know why that happened. It seemed to me like odd because this little strip just down from Studebaker down this way, they took out and moved it over there. And it was more logical to be where it had always been. So that's why I could run in the district that included something that I knew about and people who knew me and so forth.
Yeah.
Out this way, they were not voting people and so forth.
Oh.
They wouldn't have known me.
Yeah. Who were the other people running? Do you remember that?
Oh, Jan Hall ran. She didn't win on that election, but there was couple of other people, I can't remember who it was. Murchison ran, and another man from Belmont Shore.
Was that in the
70s?
The 70s?
Or
when was that?
Early 70s. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look it up and see.
it's
back in there someplace.
If I'm missing anything, you have to see. Lovely
stack of
things that
you just stopped me. Well, it goes back into a lot of other things because a lot of this scrapbook is full of, this is, for instance, in 1948, the council votes to acquire 52 acres of tidelands. That's when they voted to acquire
Is that whole scrapbook thing just stuff on the marina?
No. A lot of other things.
Uh-huh.
I was also active in the broadcasting business.
I'm going to get you a few questions about that in a minute.
There's something on the marina here at night. I think scrapbooks are equally as large as these two on my broadcasting. Because here's the pictures before we opened it. I'm going to be the show place of the West Coast. It was dated in 1960. See, we opened. The med was did have a few days in one, but the other ones did not. Mm-hmm. Open up.
So you just
can
open a short time.
Yeah, we opened in 56 or 7.
Close deposits on Main Street?
I don't know what that has to do with it. What could happen if the tidal wave hit us here?
Oh, is this the flag for the yacht club?
Yeah. That was designed by Mrs. Jonah Jones. Jonah was a staff commodore.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this had something else in there. The
King of Queen Beach. Who's that?
Me. This old Dutch Miller. Do a thing like this, you can find a lot of things in here. Mm-hmm. Action money wanted to know who cleans up the beaches.
He does clean up
the beaches. We did.
About the remote, when you were just gone out on remote and just about everything, but I don't think you had anything that you knew, what types of remotes were they, movie things, or what kind
of? Well, in the early days of broadcasting, I'm talking about before television, broadcasting stations would do what some broadcasting stations do now, but most of them do not. Some television stations do, but we went out and covered everything that was any event. Whatever was going on, we would cover it. We'd send a mobile unit out. I had built some mobile units for the station so that we could go out with a truck with a transmitter in it without having to worry about line connections and cover it from any particular spot in Southern California. And in addition to playing music and putting on live shows and that kind of thing, we did cover all kinds of events. And the fact is, we covered all the channel swims, for instance.
Oh.
From way back in one of the first ones when Young swam the channel.
Oh,
and quite a number of the channel swims that occurred from then on. I used my boat some of the times, and some of the times we used another boat. We chartered one of the Catalina boats once. We chartered the old Cabrillo. It's no longer around, but it was one of the boats that ran to Avalon. And we chartered it. It was a big boat that carried passengers. Not quite as big as the white steamer, but it was a smaller version of that kind of boat. And we chartered that to cover one of the channel swims.
And you followed along with
them. Followed along with them, and it was partly covered news-wise by the Press Telegram, because they were the news media for the station. All of our news broadcasts was done in early days as a Press Telegram news item. So we didn't have teletype connections. They had United Press, Associated Press, and so forth. The press services were restricted to news, so we could get it. The only way we could get the news out, the teletype, was to associate our news and newspaper. So that's how that whole news had been. In this particular event, they were the sponsor. Or not the sponsor, but the news cover or whatever you want to call it, and they sent the city editor along, and this was before we could we were doing anything by radio telephone from remote facilities. We hadn't yet developed a mobile unit to talk from mobile units. So this one we did by telegraph.
Oh.
And Frank Goss, who was the editor of the Press Telegram, went along and he would knock out an item, hand it to me, and I'd radio it by code into the station, would copy it, hand it to the announcer, then he would make it as though he was seeing it direct. Mm-hmm. It sounded like it was coming right from out there, but it was sort of trumped up a bit. Later on, all of them were done by mobile radio telephone.
That was the,
you know, but the first one we did was by telegraph.
Okay, I know there were a few premieres and film dedications at the Pacific Coast Club you already
talked
about, but did
you ring a bell? No, except we probably covered several buildings that were built, but we covered the opening day of the West Coast Theater when they used to bring a lot of movie stars in. They had stage shows, usual vaudeville, and the latest pictures and so forth. And we covered the opening for that particular theater when it opened. We had microphones on the stage, and we introduced a lot of the visiting celebrities, and then did the usual thing that you see in premieres later on. The people would arrive, we'd say who they were, and talk to some of them, interview them, and so forth. But I don't know of any of that in the Pacific Coast Club. We did some other, the Municipal Auditorium when it was built, and there were some other buildings, but those were probably the most outstanding ones because they were at that time quite prominent landmarks in the city.
Right.
And they're still there. I mean, the buildings are still there.
Mm-hmm. When they had special events at places like the Convention Center or the Municipal Auditorium, would you go in and those types of occasions?
Yes, we had microphones installed in the Municipal Auditorium, which at that time was a great big wooden building, wooden barn of a building,
mm-hmm.
long before the one they just tore down was built.
Oh, that's
it. And we broadcast the municipal band every day. Every afternoon we broadcast the band from inside of the municipal auditorium. And the summertime we broadcast the one that was outside on the open air pavilion. And we broadcast a lot of events that occurred in the old auditorium. I don't remember any of them. One great importance, there were usual kind of things that going on and on, but we would ask if there was anything important. And also we covered anything else that happened. For instance, when we had a storm and a terrific tide, and the water would wash houses out down along the Alameda Bay and along the waterfront. Many of those houses were built out pretty close to the edge of the water, and when the tide started to run pretty bad, a lot of that sand would wash out, and many of those houses were just completely destroyed by the tide and the sea running in. And we expected this one storm and a couple of houses that were right there to be washed out, so we took a mobile unit down and stood by at 55th Place and Long Beach Boulevard and watched one house completely disintegrate and waited for the sea to wash a cut through at 55th Place. At one time, that was the exit of Alameda Bay. The ocean went through there, and then it was filled in and moved down to the east where it is now. Well, no, it moved down to the east where the San Gabriel River is, and then when the San Gabriel River and the entrance to Alamese Bay were separated, while the entrance stayed down there to the east, but at one time, the entrance to Alameda Bay was way up at the other end, about where the Leeway Sailing Club is now.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down there waiting for this storm to wash a hole through there. We figured that it was going to do it, and it did. It washed all the way up to Ocean Boulevard. It destroyed a couple of houses right along there, but it never did. It went over the top, went over Ocean Boulevard, and washed into Alameda Bay, but it didn't cut a hole all the way to it. But we were there. Covering that kind of thing.
Yeah. I was reading about the Kiwanis Club and the Kiwanis frolic that they had on the radio station. And it brought to mind that there may have been other things that you did like that were kind of unusual types of things. Do you recall the Kiwanis frolic?
Yes, I recall the Kiwanis frolic. I didn't belong to the Kiwanis Club. Hal Nichols, who was the president of the radio station, did, and I belonged to Rotary Club. The other man who was a partner in the station belonged to Rotary, and I was one of the junior members of the organization, so he wanted me to come into Rotary, so I did. But we didn't put on any such things, but the Kiwanis Club did. I don't remember too much about it, except it was just a bunch of entertainers that belonged to the Kiwanis Club, and they would put on a show, sort of a variety type of show.
Yeah. Talked about Stafford Sisters and a few things like that.
Yeah. Well, we had some of our own staff. The Stafford Sisters were working for us. They were on our staff as singers.
Oh.
And in those days, the broadcasting station personnel had to do everything. For instance, one of our announcers was a singer, and he did the two or three parts. He was quite versatile in being able to take the part of an old man, a young man, and whatever else. And
that wouldn't be Foster Rucker, but
yeah.
It would.
And we had some others one girl played the piano. She was our staff accompanist, and she also was one of the actresses in some of the live shows, and one of our girls wrote copy, and she took some parts. Everybody did a little of everything. That's only one part of their job. They did a stint as an announcer and a stint as an actor in a show and maybe a singer.
Did you write anything on the air like that? Well,
I announced the Long Beach Municipal Band for several years. I didn't go to the band. I did it from the station and switched back to the band. And then I announced the Pacific Coast Club Orchestra for several years. Then I would go down to the club and usually then get dressed up in a tux and if they're on the stage and that kind of thing. Did that for several years. Yeah, it was sort of fun. Except it kept me out every night. Some of the times the band would be on 11 to 12 o'clock. And I would dash home. I was maybe an engineer in the daytime, announcer at night, or whatever else. Those days you did a lot of things. You were just sort of doubled in brass. Everybody had to do more than one thing.
Yeah. There's a tape that we have of Fred Dean. I don't know.
If mm-hmm. I know Fred Dean.
He was talking about a radio station that was here before KFOX, but then closed down. Do you know what?
Yeah, he had. I don't remember the call letters, but Fred Dean. He was in the radio business. I think he was a radio amateur, and in those days, radio amateurs were sort of the radio foundation of a lot of things. And Fred Dean's a radio station, and it didn't last very long. It never did really do anything. It just started and stopped. And then KFOA came into town and we were a radio station. That's what I came down here to do, a technician, to build KFOX. It got a start. The people who originally started the radio station brought some of the stuff from Denver. They had a radio station in a dance hall in Denver. And radio stations in the beginning were just sort of incidental things. Radio stations were not primarily a radio station. They were a part of another operation. For instance, this one that came to Long Beach was for the purpose of broadcasting the orchestra in the dance hall to promote the dance hall. They didn't have any other commercials on it, but that's all they did. And when they came to Long Beach, that's what was done here, but it wasn't for the purpose of an orchestra or anything like that because they didn't have one, but they had a distributorship for a radio receiver. And so the station was built to promote this particular receiver, which was called an Echophone, built out of Chicago, but we were the distributors, so we built the radio station to sort of sell